You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst, friendsfantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
Good, man. Watched a lot of football today, being Saturday. Trying to figure out how the Tennessee Titans were a playoff team, but, you know, hey. Strange things happen.
Yeah, well, when you play in the, they were wild card. I was gonna say when you play in the AFC South, but they didn't even win that division. When Mariota can throw to himself, you know, you can go far.
Right, there you go.
Unfortunately,
right.
Unable to do that against the Patriots, and so they go down.
What's his name? Mike Mularkey. Mm-hmm. I think he's Mike Matheny in just basic football terms. So it's kind of interesting they both share the same initials.
Yeah,
of an overrated candy as well. So it's just completely
same initials as Mickey Mouse.
Right, also overrated. So something with that, you know, the MM things.
You would think with this intro we'd be talking about the Los Angeles Angels, but we'll be getting there later. Today we're talking about the Texas Rangers, an interesting system. But before we do that, remind everybody you can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB, me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. So let's talk about these Texas Rangers, a couple guys who are going to start the year, or, well, either close or going to start the year in the major leagues, including my boy, your boy, I think, too, Willie Calhoun.
Right.
You know, let's talk about him and then talk about anybody else who's close.
Well, you know, I was late to jump on the Willie Calhoun trade. I know Ralph Lifshitz over at Razzball was pretty much driving that train. He was on it. Good credit to him. Credit to, on it till the end. Well, he was either going to crash or make it across the finish line. But so far, it looks pretty nice, that investment there. You know, Willie Calhoun has that blend of power and contact, which is almost non-existent in today's game. 89% contact rate and 8 home runs in AAA and 113 at bats. 87% contract or in with after the trade, and then prior to the trade with when he was still with the Dodgers with the new Darvish deal, 87% contact rate with 23 homers. So you're looking at a guy approaching the 90% contact threshold with 31 home runs. That's a good player. I don't care what league you're in.
32, if you include the one at the major league level.
Right, and his brief sample in the major league level, only 34 at-bats, but he had a 79% contact rate, which is extremely playable. And, you know, and that stabilizes fairly quickly. I want to say it's like 75 plate appearances, and your contact rate is pretty stable. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's exactly the number, but I think you get the gist of what I'm saying.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
It's one of those ones you can predict fairly quickly, and you know, everything comes back to Willie Calhoun. We talked about it on the Texas Rangers podcast with Mike and I. I mean, I don't want to hash on it a little bit too much, but I'm curious what your thoughts are on Calhoun more than mine, essentially, because I kind of gave mine on the last episode. But, I mean, his steamer projection, 278, 330, 491, 27 homers, 13.5% K rate, doesn't walk much, 6.7%, but that's more than playable. And he's aggressive, but it hasn't hurt him. And his ADP right now is like double Moncada's, double Acuna's, which I find absurd.
Yeah, I'm probably more in line with Steamer's projection as opposed to depth charts. If you look over at Fangraphs, I worry that his defensive liabilities may cost him some plate appearances.
He might DH.
Well, they're going to have a hard time
with Chu.
Yeah, right. DHing him constantly with
but
Chu.
But Chu's only good for 300 at bat until he breaks down. So,
well, yeah, and I mean But that still will take a little bit of a chunk out of Calhoun's ability to DH on a regular basis. Though, I mean, Roster Resource has him DHing on a regular basis.
And hitting eighth, which is
And platooning with Jerks and Profar, which I don't get.
No, Calhoun's on a platoon bat. Calhoun's a play every day bat. And moving over to this Rangers team, man, this offense is actually – the offense is really nice.
The offense is fantastic. It's the pitching that's absolutely atrocious.
Pitching is – for every positive step forward the offense takes, the pitching staff's like four backwards.
Yeah, it's really bad.
But, I mean, they could add Lorenzo – not to be – not to tag on to what we talked about earlier, but they could add Lorenzo Cain, which is a nice need for them, and push everyone else down. And Calhoun would still get – I don't think that would affect his plate appearance as much.
I don't think they need to. I mean, they have Delino DeShields.
I don't trust DeShields, but that's a different.
But he's 25. You got to give him. You just got to give him a chance.
I think last year he was free, so he was appealing. This year he actually has some costs, so I'm not really trying to get on board.
Yeah. Though back to the prospects.
Right.
You know, in terms of Calhoun, I'm on board. I think, especially considering the price. I want to say. Like, I'm at pick 200 right now in my NFBC draft. He is still on the board.
Oh, you need to take him now, man.
I'm debating taking him.
I
now.
Would.
That's
a bargain, in my opinion. I think if you switched him, I think you could cut his ADP in half in 150 range, and I'd still be fine with it.
Yeah, I'm
trying believer, to find, man.
I'm trying to find him right now on his ADP, but I should probably just type his name in or search by position.
Right. I couldn't be more on board, if it makes sense. I mean, I was late to the party, I admit it. I didn't see the upside. And to be honest with you, the upside probably isn't much different than what he is now. But that's fine.
Yeah, he's got an ADP of 283.
Okay. Yeah,
so,
it's already jumped up from 303 it was like 24 hours ago.
Yeah, I mean, and,
so,
you know, like you said, I think he is a 25 to 30 home run bat.
Right.
He's going to do it with a good average. I think the only issue with him is his is a defensive liability. But if he can DH and you still get enough games in the outfield, to continue to keep outfield eligibility through the years, I think
right. That's
perfect. It's kind of like a catcher who DHs or plays first base most of the time.
Right, and in an ideal world, he can, I don't know if you touched on it, get just enough starts at second base, which I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Not in the Rangers system.
No, but, I mean, that'd be ideal. He can't play defense there, but, mm-hmm. I mean, it's –
we
say, got experience
we see,
there.
We see
so.
Players who can't play certain positions play them all over
right. All
the time, but I just think with Odor there, there's no reason to do
and
that.
And Texas also has Profaro, who's out of options, so he's going to have mm-hmm. to play somewhere. So
exactly.
I agree. I mean, it's a dream scenario, but I don't think it would really change his value much, though, because second base is pretty deep. But,
mm-hmm.
I think we covered Calhoun, especially mm-hmm. with the last two podcasts, But if you couldn't tell, we're all on board.
Yes, so. we're dev. I love, and I think he's a, I think he's a good buy, like you said, for redraft leagues. He's a
carries
guy
more
that,
fantasy value than real life value.
Yeah, I mean, who would you rather have, Willie Calhoun, or let's see, I'm gonna look at some outfielders.
Well, Willie Calhoun or Victor Robles?
Ooh, for this year only, I'll take Calhoun.
But yeah, this year only, it's not close. But even the next 3 years, I think he still might go.
But even for this year. Willie Calhoun or Corey Dickerson?
I'll take Calhoun because I think Dickerson's a platoon bat.
Willie Calhoun or his teammate Sinchu Chu?
Calhoun.
Willie Calhoun or Michael Brantley?
That's actually a good comp for Calhoun, to be honest with you. A little more power.
Except for healthy.
Well, yeah, of course. And you have to go Calhoun because the biggest predictor of injuries is injuries, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Willie Calhoun or David Peralta?
Calhoun, I think Arizona has an outfield signing in him.
All those guys are going 40 picks ahead of him or more in NFBC.
For now.
For now.
I would be surprised if he's ahead of three of those guys when we get to the end of the year. But
all right, let's move on to the next guy. Who do we got?
Ronald Guzman is a tall, skinny-ass, lanky first baseman, 6'5", 205. First base prospect that has an opportunity to – make a debut this year. 298, 372, 434, 12 homers, and 4 stolen bases in 125 games at AAA. So he's not a big power first baseman. So immediately he's going to be crossed off my draft board. I just, whenever I build a roster and I don't get a big thumper at first, I always feel like I'm missing something. And you know, I don't know if that's the right way. That's just a weird thing I have about my draft. I think the ultimate upside for Guzman is he's a guy that hit 290, 300 with 20, 24 home runs, which I think is fine. He's a real valuable play in AL only, I think, more than anything, just because, you know, he's potential plus hit tool and probably an average power tool. So he's, that kind of sounds like a which I'm blanking on the guy's name. Sounds like a Brandon Belt. Mm-hmm. Kind of sounds like an Eric Hosmer before last year. You know what I mean? Kind of player like that. Which I'm not in on really either one of those two guys. That's just personal preference.
It's hard to play that in today's power boom.
Right. And he's a line drive guy, makes good contact. If you play in points leagues, which I don't, he's a decent play. I've never played a points league, and I will never. But, you know, I think he could be a play in that because he doesn't strike out a lot. 74% in 2016 in AAA was the contact rate. He bumped up to 82% this year, so he made significant gains. He had a rotten year in 2016 in AAA, but he spent most of the year in AA, and then he repeated AAA this year, and he was pretty nice. Like we said, 12-4 on the homers and steals. 23 years old, so he's as old as Willie Calhoun, but he's does not nearly the offensive bat. So I think the fantasy upside is, like I said, 290, maybe even 300 in a good season, but 20 to 24 home runs. So, meh. You know, I don't know.
Sorry, I mean, that sounds better than Brandon Belt, but not that much.
Right, but Belt still has the OBP thing that carries. So, I always take the OBP guy, regardless of OBP league over not, if they're close. I think that's common, though. Mm-hmm. Next guy is a Yohandre Mendez, a pitcher for Texas, so I can see why some people might be backed off. Left-handed pitcher. But if you look at the rotation, he might have a good chance to carve into some significant value this year. I don't trust Matt Bush's ability to stay in the rotation. Doug Fister is...
Mike Miners.
Doug Fister was signed to a minor league contract, I think, before last year, then got released, and then Boston picked him up, and then he was whatever. Mike Miner, which I actually kind of don't mind this year. And then Matt Moore's been brutal, and Cole Hamels seems like he's a walking injury for me. This, you know, even though he hasn't, I think the arm, something's up with the arm after the year he had last year, in my opinion.
Yeah, mine too.
But, yeah, so I think Yohandre Mendez is a nice guy to maybe grab deep in your NFBC league or something like that. 6'4", 178 from the left side, plus changeup. That's the pitch right now. And his fastball and changeup, he's actually just have like a 10 to 12 mile an hour separation with no arm speed change. So at worst, he's a pretty good reliever because he's got that two, you know, the good sequencing off each other. You know, he's got a slider that has a chance. He's in the low 90s with the fastball. Potential mid rotation arm. So a mid rotation arm in that ballpark is probably not the, you know, highest upside fantasy guy that you want. But he has a chance to carve out a major league role this year, and not a lot of guys can say that. I guess now we'll move on to the lower levels.
Sure.
We'll touch the top guy. Well, not my top guy in the system. My top guy is Willie Calhoun. But number two is Leody Taveras for me. He's already gone in an RDI draft a while ago. Potential five category fantasy producer with the average OBP, runs, steals, and home runs and RBIs might come along, depending on – it's all projection right now. 6'1", 170, 19 years old. So he's got some room to grow. 249, 312, 360 in low A this year. 20 stolen bases, 8 home runs, made contact at an 82% clip. Bat speed, barrels, everything, hits line drives all over the yard. So I'm automatically in. I'm a bat speed whore. So if, you know, if he's got it with some projection, I'm going to be in on it. He's got some speed, obviously, too. He should stick in center field. He's a potential, you know, top, you know, 4 or 5 round draft pick. If everything pans out, it's just going to be 3-4 years. So I don't know if you want to put in the work, put in the investment for it. But Leody Taveras is a guy to own. We'll jump down. guy like Hans Kraus, he's a second round draft pick this year. I think it's Hans or Hans, either one. Tall, skinny starting pitcher from the right side, 6'5", 190. It's going to be a while. I kind of like him a lot. Compare him to like a Garrett Cole, like as far as arsenal and arm angle and everything like that. Command is advanced, really good fastball for his age. Remember, Garrett Cole threw a couple ticks higher before he, you know, debuted with the majors. So I think hopefully Kraus can keep up that velocity, and hopefully, you know, he doesn't sit in the minor leagues for years like Cole did before Pittsburgh finally called him up. But, you know, different story there. Bubba Thompson, he's probably the number, you know, a lot of guys will be in on this guy. He's got a cool ass name. First round pick this year for the Rangers, 6'2", 180. Speed power combination, three homers and five stolen bases and 113 at bats in Arizona. 257, 317, 434, rookie ball. Premium athlete. He's mentioned in the same sentences as you know, Joe Adell, sometimes an Austin Beck and Tristan Lutz as some of these premier high school bats and that are in this draft, and they're all playing out in Arizona now too, so it'd be easy to watch them all in the rookie leagues. Bat speed isn't plus, but it's damn close for Bubba Thompson. But he's able to recognize spin so far at a young age from what I've seen. He's a big, strong kid. He's got room to add more. He was a football player in Alabama. I think he was an Alabama commit. Now he's here on the baseball field, which is nice. It's a nice win to get guys like that to play baseball. Maybe they're learning all these concussions aren't the wisest career path to make, but take the guaranteed money, kids. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's going to be long. He's a long way away, obviously, being a raw high school kid. But he's got the power speed combination, bigger frame. I think ultimately he's a right fielder. But he has the chance to be a future cleanup hitter that's going to swipe bases. So I think that's, you know, that's a premium player and one that you should get in when he can, because, you know, he's going to be owned in a lot of leagues this series. He's going to be drafted pretty high in first year player drafts, so you need to get on him now. Cole Reagans is another guy. Like, he's a 6'4 lefty. You know, he drew some of those Cole Hamels comps when he came out of school. It's because of the changeup plus, which plus changeup, I'm automatically in. Now, like I touched on this before, I think that's a feel pitch. I don't think you can really teach someone a changeup that's effective anyways. You could teach someone a show me one, but if he has the feel for it, you know, he has a chance to be an elite pitch, and he's already got that. Got a curveball. It's meh right now. So he's got 2-plus pitches in the fastball, low 90s that he can spot. He walked too many guys, 14%, but he struck out 34%. So, you know, he's got room to grow in that department, but the command needs to be tightened up, obviously. 5.5 walks per nine this year, 7.5 last year in four games, 5.5 and 13 starts this year in 57 innings. But again, he strikes out enough guys to get away with it. That has to change. Because you're not going to be able to keep that up. But 87 strikeouts and 57 innings jumps out at you. He's in low A, obviously. So he's a guy to watch. You know, there's some questions if we can throw 200 innings, which I'm tired of because nobody does anymore. So they hold this against these young kids. I don't understand that. The evaluation on that needs to change. Throwing 200 innings doesn't do anything for me anymore because I'd rather take 180, 175, 180 innings of a really great pitcher than someone trying to throw 25 terrible innings to round out to 200, right? I mean, so, and the bullpens now are better than they've ever been in the history of the game. So, you know, there's more specialization in baseball now than ever. So you're going to have to deal with a lot of five and fly starting pitchers. A lot of guys are going to go six innings, and quality starts are going to be tough to find. So you can't really draft those. Just draft the skills and see where they play. So that's my advice on that. And another dude, I'm going to shift gears a little bit again, Pedro Gonzalez. He was a high-profile July 2nd signing by the Colorado Rockies a few years back in 2014. He came over. He was a player to be named later in the Jonathan Lucroy trade. Kind of big-time player to be named later because that's a good player. I'm trying to pull up the stat line right now. Internet's giving me some trouble. But Pedro Gonzalez, sum him up, basically, he's a projectable middle-of-the-order hitter. And what you're getting with this guy, He's got the good size. He's 6'5", 190. So he got real big size, 20 years old. 294, 364, 475 in 51 games and across rookie ball and low minors. Colorado traded him to Texas. He jumped up to low A immediately after the trade. In 17 at-bats, he went hitless with the Rangers and their new organization. So that pulled down his rookie level slash was 321, 388, 519. Three homers, 16 doubles, six triples, and 11 homers. So he's another high upside guy that you could grab. And Arlington's a really, really nice place to hit, and Pedro Gonzalez should take advantage of that. Like you said, he's lanky. He's going to fill out. You're looking at a potential 30 home run bat for me. Batting average and stolen bases, be medium impact. I think he can probably hit, steal 10 to 12 bases while hitting 280. That's a good player.
Yeah.
So kind of AJ Pollock light, maybe. You know, emphasis on light, especially with the stolen bases. So that's probably not the best comp. But, you know, he's going to be a center fielder. Center fielder that can hit in the middle of the order. That doesn't happen too often. So you can take Yanio Perez. It's a corner infielder, first base, third base, outfield, kind of dabbled a little bit, all that. Split his season between two different levels of A ball this year. Looking at a guy with 14 homers and six stolen base potential. Oh, that's what he hit this year. He's a potential 20 homer guy. Again, another guy that can hit 280. I feel like there's a lot of high batting average guys in this system. So probably not your favorite, but.
Well, it's interesting though, because we're getting into an era now in which batting average is harder and harder to find. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing to maybe have a couple of these guys in your minor league system, in your dynasty leagues, because it doesn't seem like that is a huge priority for a lot of teams, which is going to make it a scarcer commodity in fantasy.
Right. No, you're right about that. And, you know, Perez, two levels of A-ball this year. Funny I said 280. His cumulative batting average across those two levels was 280, 343, 434 on the slug. 23 doubles, three triples, 14 homers. So obviously you see the speed power play up there. Six stolen bases, only caught once. Problem here, 100 strikeouts and 461 at-bats. That's, what, a 23, 24% clip, doing quick math in my head. That's not great. But it's playable. But the problem with that is he's a 22-year-old in A-ball with those numbers.
Yeah.
Also, though, first-year stateside because he's a Cuban. He's kind of a low-hyped-up Cuban signing. And I don't know the full background on Perez here, but a lot of times when those Cuban players come up, they have to sit out like a year and a half, 2 years, because it takes a while to get the visa. And for Major League Baseball to declare you free agent, they kind of have to hide out in another country for a while and don't face live pitching, or if they do face live pitching, it's not the caliber they should be facing. So kind of throw out numbers for guys in their first year stateside, from no matter what country they come from, because not only are you making the adjustment to, you know, a different country, different language, everything, the dude's lived in Cuba his entire life until, you know, recently, and now he's trying to play baseball in the Carolina League. Like, you think that's not a culture shock for him? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So throw all that stuff out. Contact percentage does normally stabilize, but like we talked about earlier, but not with guys like this. There's so many variables that we can't control. So throw that one out a little bit there. Give him some slack there. And he's a guy to get in on now, because if he's 22 years old, you know, he's already 22. He'll be 23 next year, obviously. If he puts up good numbers like this, he's going to be gone everywhere you get. So you have to take, if you can afford the roster spot, he's a nice high upside guy to play. If he sucks, just cut him. Chris Cease was their other first round pick this year in 2017. Kind of a sum of all your parts guy, no plus skills in the bag. So, you know, batting average, power, and speed should all be average. So, and he's going to stick a shortstop. So that should be a useful fantasy player, but not a great one. And probably not one I'm going to invest too heavily in. Kyle Cody's a big 6'6", 215-pound arm out of the University of Kentucky. He was drafted, I believe, by the Twins a few years ago and decided to go back to school and then got drafted in the sixth round as opposed to the second round like he was previously. So he lost a little bit of money. But he'll make it up. The Rangers have a thing for tall, you know, filled out, not a lot of body projection arms, and he's He's in that mold. He's a mid-rotation guy. Mid-rotation guy that should lean heavily towards strikeouts, but he's going to give up a little of that in the walks and probably home runs because he nibbles a little bit, but he throws hard. He's probably a right-handed reliever. He has a good chance to be a right-handed reliever because he's a little bit nasty against righties. He kind of hides the ball a little bit and throws across the body. So he's tough to pick up for the same-siders. Alex Spies is a second-round pick in 2016. Very, very explosive fastball that moves a ton with a slider out pitch. Needs a changeup, typical for guys his age. Needs to tighten up the command. 7.6 was the walk rate in 2016. In 2017, he cut it to 6.7. That's still not good enough. That's a lot of a ticket in all sense of the word. But, you know, A.J. Alexi, the guy from the Dodgers in the Darvish trade, was one of the pieces with Calhoun. I like this kid a lot. Big curveball as an out pitch right now. Mid-rotation starter. Has a tendency not to throw first pitch strike as much as he needs to, but if he can, he's going to pile up his strikeouts. Between two levels of A-ball this year, he had 10.5 and 11.8 strikeouts, but the walks were 4.5 and 6.5 on both different levels per trade. So, you know, he's a real skinny kid, 6'4", 195, which I think he looks even smaller than that. He's got potential to fill out and add some velocity. He's already in the low 90s, can pump it up a little higher with some velocity, so he's a dude to watch. Ariel Jurado is a back-end command sinker ball change-up guy. Needs to pick up a slider to be a little better. He's a back-end starter. And a lotto ticket is Matt Watley. He's a catcher they drafted in the third round this year out of Oral Roberts University. He's already played in two different levels. He moved up to the Northwest League this year. High contact catching prospect. Not anything. He's right. He's good enough to stick, but he's probably a 275, 15, 18 homer guy, and I'm not waiting 4 years for that.
No.
So, you know, that's not his fault. It's just that's how catching prospects are. Texas has some interesting guys in the system. The system's a bit more down than it used to be. They used to have a lot more, like, I'm going to say Latin American athletes, but that sounds kind of racist, so I don't know how else to say it. You know what I mean? A.J. Preller used to be their scouting director, so look at their system now, and they don't have those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no high upside middle infielders anymore, really. No jerks, well, bad example. No Esteria Ruiz types or anything like that. Fernando Tatis types. It's now a lot of potential middle-of-the-order outfielders and back-end starters with the occasional Cole Reagans and guys like Bubba Thompson thrown, or Cole Reagans and Hans Krause thrown in there. It's a useful system. Another guy I want to touch on real quick, Michael Matuella. Injuries are a massive thing with this guy. He had some strong buzz in 2015 out of Duke to go number one. But first month into school, his senior season at Duke, and he popped his elbow, Tommy John surgery. Still got $2 million to get drafted in the third round because the Rangers wanted to like the arm a lot, so they were willing to pay the bonus. Made three starts last year in June, you know, after finally getting healthy for 2017 season. What did he do? Hurt his elbow again. Nasty stuff, 93 to 97 mile an hour with run and sink. Curveball and slider that are just nasty. Ultimately, he's probably a reliever now because of all the injuries and the elbow concerns. But, you know, I think he's one that's he's high upside. 6'6", 220. Again, touches on the Rangers' frame that they like. They just like big-bodied athletes like that. David Garcia, you want to invest in a 17-year-old switch-hitting catcher?
No.
Okay, well, that's him. $800,000 out of Venezuela, I think. So he hasn't played stateside yet. 5'11", skinny kid, going to add weight. Brendan Davis was the last piece of that Yu Darvish trade, projectable middle infielder. I like him a lot. I think he's got power and speed in the bag coming up. 6'4", 185, got some projection. He's that. And Connor Sadzak is a hard-throwing bullpen arm, probably can touch 100 miles an hour. Jose Trevino, a catching prospect. Excited?
No.
Another one, yeah. He's Major League ready almost. Probably needs another year or so in the minor leagues. He could be up and be below-average offensive catcher.
All right.
Blend on that.
That's going to wrap us up. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB, me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.